Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Well, let's talk about money and trust, right? A very important concept that really does correlate with how it is that we approach the individuals who we essentially seek guidance from and have an element of trust that we place in them to make sure that we can meet and attain our goals of creating wealth. Well, this conversation is critical. So if you're someone who's investing your money, you've put some aside, or you're still looking at options as to how best to go about it, we want you to come closer to the speaker, literally. Well, we're going to take a look at the theme for this week, which is International Fraud Awareness Week. And during this week, we do need to be reminded of the unscrupulous scammers who are always finding ways of taking advantage of investors. So we obviously need to make sure that we put in a lot more research and knowledge to understand how to choose an investment manager that we can trust. To talk us through this is the head of direct and private clients at Allan Gray, Nomi Bodlani. Nomi, such a pleasure to have you on the show. Welcome back to Kaya Biz.
Thank you so much. Great to be here, Gugu.
Excited to speak to you on a very important topic, especially because just a moment ago we're talking about the plethora of banks or banking and financial services options that are available in South Africa, and that they are getting a lot simpler to access. But that does speak to us being a lot more aware around particular fraudulent scams. So, but before we speak about the fraudulent activity and, you know, how to mitigate against it, we do need to be clear first on the importance of what needs to expect from an investment manager. Essentially, this is someone we're trusting to handle our money, right? But what does it fully entail?
Yeah, I think trust is so important, because at the core of it, it's about whether you are not only trusting whether someone says they are who they say they are, firstly, but secondly, that they can deliver on what they say they're going to deliver on, what you're trusting them to do. So when you essentially place your money with an active manager, you are expressing your confidence in their ability to deliver that performance. And so it can be really helpful to be clear about what you're actually trusting them to achieve.
Yeah.
And I think ideally, before you can even select an investment manager, you want to be clear on what your goals are. And that will help you select a unit trust with that investment manager. And typically a unit trust will express and define and declare what it is it is trying to achieve and how it does that. And then you can actually align and make sure that you can use those to inform what you're then expecting of that particular unit trust and of the manager. So I think it really is about setting a benchmark of what you're actually expecting a unit trust or an investment manager to do for you.
And what's important is that that's clearly a relationship that you establish, right? And maybe for some, it's something they've done in recent months. Maybe for others, in recent years. And for others, maybe it's, you know, just a relationship that's been there for a while. But how does one actually review the long-term track record of an investment manager to make sure that, as you've mentioned, they can assist you in meeting your financial goals and objectives?
Typically, investment managers will publish their investment track record. You can also find sort of information on performance on their website, but also in the unit trust fact sheets of the particular unit trusts. Now, often we say a lot in the investment world that, you know, past performance is not a guarantee for future performance. But it can, if considered carefully, be a useful lens through which you can evaluate, firstly, whether your investment manager actually has a track record of delivering on expectations. And then secondly, I think the thing that it can help you do is evaluate whether they're able to replicate whatever approach they have to investing over multiple periods of time. And these two things will give you, you know, one lens and a good lens at that, at understanding whether this particular investment manager has been able to do what they say they intend to do over longer term periods of time. Mm. I think it can also help you in those more shorter term moments where, for some other reason, you might think you have a reason to distrust. And so even though it might look like the unit trust is not doing what you thought it was going to do, it's actually more about trusting that the manager is actually still doing what they have intended to do, but the short-term underperformance may be part of the approach through which they deliver performance over the long term.
That's a very important point you mentioned there, Nomi, because we obviously need to take a look at what role the investment manager plays in driving performance. The markets are the markets and they'll do what they do. The investment manager has a mandate to ensure that regardless of what the markets do, your investment goals and objectives are still met. So help us contextualize this. It's one of my favorite words to use because sometimes we might blame people or the investment manager for the bad market performance, but that's not how it works, right? So how do we need to spot that difference or I guess critique in terms of the investment manager versus the market performance and understanding who's doing what?
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
So typically a unit trust will have a benchmark. And this benchmark is a suitable performance yardstick for that unit trust. And so for each unit trust, you can actually look how it's done against that benchmark. And, you know, for example, if you have a benchmark that is a peer benchmark, which will be sort of the average performance of other similar unit trusts, yes, some of that will have what the market is doing, but in that instance, what your manager might be trying to do is give you better returns than a suitable alternative for you. And so the benchmark is really important. You also do have unit trusts that will have sort of the JSE All-Share Index as a benchmark, and for them, that is what they'll be trying to beat. I think it's very important that when you're kind of setting your performance expectations and return expectations of your unit trust manager, to understand what benchmark they're using to evaluate that performance against, so that you are not evaluating them against performance that is actually not consistent with the intentions of that particular unit trust, as well as how the manager is actually evaluating performance and trying to achieve returns for you.
That's so important because that obviously speaks as well to an alignment in terms of risk appetite. Because if I say I want to make this particular amount of money by such a period of time, that speaks to the investment strategy that I'm undertaking. And the investment manager also needs to be aligned with that, with risk averse or perhaps a lot more aggressive in my investment strategy. What kind of conversations need to take place there?
Yeah, I think risk considerations are very much closely linked to return expectations. Typically, you will need to take on more risk in pursuit of higher returns. And when you select a unit trust, it should also align not only to what you expect from a return perspective, but also sort of your risk tolerance. And that can be informed by time, as you mentioned. And so, if you're invested in an equity fund, but your tolerance for your investment value moving up and down is actually quite low because you intended to access that investment in the short term. And so you may then start to doubt the unit trust or the investment manager when in fact you probably selected a unit trust that wasn't aligned to your time horizon. And so you didn't really have the time to take on a higher level of risk and see out those ups and downs. And so I think even if you're investing for sort of longer term periods and you have the luxury to take on more risk because you sort of have the time to see through those ups and downs and have your investment value recover, you still need to ensure you're comfortable and can stomach it because it's going to determine the investment experience that you will have through that time. I think it can be really terrifying to see your investment value decline over a period of time where, number one, maybe you didn't expect it because you didn't understand the unit trust, or also you just don't have the stomach for it. And so maybe you needed to be in something that was a little bit lower risk.
Got you. And that's important because that speaks to the very honest conversations one needs to have with the investment manager to make sure that you're on track to manage your money for the long term, essentially. There's an important theme around organizational structure and ownership of an investment manager that also makes a difference in terms of the levels of trust that we can evaluate. Help us understand what that means and why it matters in terms of organizational structure and ownership.
Sure. I think one thing that is inherent to us as humans is kind of a survival mechanism that has to do with self-interest. And so you want to evaluate whether your investment manager has an interest that aligns to your interest as well. And there's kind of two ways that you could evaluate this. The one is that the structure of the organization could be set up in such a way that it gives the investment team the space and independence to make, you know, really high quality independent decisions without sort of undue pressure from, for example, shareholders. And so one way that this can be achieved is if the firm is privately owned, and then it has that independence to make, you know, quality investment decisions without sort of undue pressure that may come from other interested parties. And then the second way that sort of organizational structure and culture can play a role is around the incentives of the firm. And so as an example, performance-based fees will typically directly link client outcomes to business outcomes. You know, the other way that that can happen is where senior managers and investment decision makers, so your portfolio managers, are remunerated in a way that prioritizes long-term client outcomes rather than short-termism. And so ultimately what you're looking to test is whether the incentives of the firm ensure that the firm and the company do well only if clients also do well. So those are two ways in which you can sort of test whether there's an alignment between the interests of yourself as a client and those of the company.
100%. Nomi, always a pleasure speaking to you, and I hope this has empowered many more South Africans to have more honest and robust reflections with themselves, firstly, if they are partnered with the right investment manager, if they are transparent and open about the investment goals and objectives, but also then, you know, to have that conversation with the investment manager to say, hold on, how do we make this work? You know, are we still on track? And should there be changes that are required, then for them to confidently act on that. Thank you again for your time.
Thank you so much. Have a good evening.
Thank you, Nomi, and to you too. That's Nomi Pogani, Head of Direct and Private Clients at Allan Gray. Allan Gray, helping you secure your future. 50 years of long-term investing. Allan Gray is an authorized financial services provider.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.